Hi, Joe Cantu here. The U.S. GDP is at 2%, the economy's on track.
Welcome to Retirement Tactical Money Management. Joe Cantu, Chief Investment Officer of Cantu Tactical Wealth Management, is your host and has over 30 years of experience in the retirement money management profession. He is a West Point graduate with a Master's in Business Administration and has worked for three of the largest Wall Street firms as a stockbroker and portfolio manager.
Hi, Joe Cantu here. The U.S. GDP is at 2%. The economy's on track. Today is July the 2nd, 2023. I wanted to also wish everyone a happy 4th of July coming up. And I will tell you a quick story at the end about when I was at airborne school. It's kind of a funny story. And let me just highlight what we're going to talk about today. Today, I am going to talk about the GDP, jobless claims, how inflation is doing, new home sales, consumer confidence, durable goods orders. Is the stock market advancing on low volume or high volume? And what does that mean? Finally, at the end, I will talk to you about, is there room for the stock market to go higher? And I'll tell you if there's room for the market to go higher. And then lastly, I'll close with a quick story. Okay, let's get started. So everyone was expecting about a 1.4% on the GDP. And you've been hearing talk that, hey, we're going into recession in 2023. And most people have predicted we would move into recession in 2023 in the third quarter. Well, guess what? We're in the third quarter, and there is no recession. And a matter of fact, the GDP number came out at 2%, which was quite surprising for many people. And that's a good, strong number. What is GDP? It's a gross domestic product. So if you look at every week, they come out with economic indicators. Well, it's the granddad of all the economic indicators, and every country has a gross domestic product, and that's, quote, the report card for these countries. And in the United States, it came out strong. Let's talk about jobless claims. Again, another positive indicator. They were expecting 268,000 jobless claims last month, and in fact, they came in a lower number, 239, so that means more people are at work. And again, if we talk about the whole employment condition of the United States, we're at the best employment condition since 1969. And it's primarily that reason for the last 2 years that I believe that the economy is still strong here in the United States. How about inflation? Again, you know that the Fed has been raising interest rates because 2 years ago, the inflation was at about 8%, I believe. Now, today, the inflation indicator indicated that the inflation was at 4.6. They expected last month for that indication to be 4.7, but it wasn't. It's 4.6, so it's actually moving down. So that means that what the Fed is doing is in fact working. Now, if you heard Powell, he indicated that we probably wouldn't get close to 2%, which is his goal, until 2025, but it does indicate that what he's doing by raising interest rates. And again, if he raises rates, the economy's doing well. If he lowers rates, the economy's not doing well. He's raising rates, so the economy's doing well. Talk about new home sales. Again, most economists feel that when you raise interest rates, that it affects mortgages and that people quit buying homes. But guess what? The new home sales for last month came in at, well, let me tell you what they were expecting. They were expecting 680,000. 680,000. You got that, Mark? It came in at 763,000. Boom, blowing it away. Surprise. So why is it that new home sales? Well, here's what happens in reality or real life, however you want to say it. In reality, whether the interest rates are at 3%, 7%, 9%, or 13%. As a matter of fact, to tell you a quick story, when I was in the Army and I was just came out of West Point and went to officer's basic training at Fort Sill, Oklahoma, and I branched field artillery, heavy missile, which is nuclear weapons. But Terry and I bought a home. And back then, interest rates were 13%. But we bought a new home at 13%. Now, that is when inflation was very, very high. So what happens, again, as I talked about reality or real life, is that people get used to the interest rate. Now, once they get used to that interest rates, then supply and demand takes over. So right now, there's a shortage of new homes, especially for the millennials out there, the people still living with mom and dad or renting an apartment, and they want their own home. There's a shortage of homes. So that's why building is so strong right now. And that's why the number came in so high at 763,000. Do I think that the new home sales are going to continue? I do. I do think so, because we do have a shortage in the United States of homes. Consumer confidence. Consumer confidence is more of an indication of an economic indicator of how, say, investors feel, primarily about the market. But it's about the economy, but it affects the stock market. Because if consumer confidence is low, then you may not see that many people buying back into the stock market, you know, after it's gone down. But consumer confidence, they were expecting at 104, boom, came in at 109. Again, the trend is moving higher. People are feeling more confident about the our economy and the stock market as well. Durable goods orders. Those are big ticket items, you know, washing machines, refrigerators, automobiles. We call durable goods. Again, they were expecting a negative number of minus 0.9, almost down minus 1%. But it came in at a positive number of 1.7%. Very high. I mean, again, boom, a surprise. Again, the economy is doing well. Now, let's talk about the stock market. So a question I have, you know, they say, you know, the stock market is rated by the S&P 500. Now, the S&P 500, the top seven stocks are all tech stocks. So you can't really look at the S&P and say, oh, okay, that's the way the broad market's doing, like everything else, because it's not. If you strip out the top seven stocks, the return for the S&P is much, much lower. But it is moving up. Now, what's interesting about that is that it's moving up on low volume. Low volume, not high volume. So what does that mean? Is that a good thing or a bad thing? It's actually a good thing, because if the market's moving up on low volume, what do you think the stock market's going to do when everybody gets in and there's high volume? It's going to go up. That's right. So right now, the stock market has been advancing since October. October seems to be October of last year, 2022, seems to be the low for the market. But it's been moving up under low volume. So there's a lot of room for it to move up. Now, one of the things that many people talk about, many Wall Street people, is they talk about something called the earnings multiple. And the earnings multiple for the stock market, as ranked by the S&P 500, is around approximately 20. And basically, it's just the earnings of what a company makes, and you multiply it to, or divide it, as you can, however you put it, to see what the stock price is. So, for example, if a stock earns $5 a share, and the multiple is 20, then the stock's trading at $100 a share, for example. That's just a fictitious example. But many argue that for the stock market to go higher, that the multiples have to go up to 20, 24, 25. I disagree with that. And I'll prove it mathematically why I disagree with that. My belief is that the multiples can stay the same here at 20, but yet the stock market can continue to rise. And here's my example. So let's say that you have a stock trading at $100 a share, and then it earns $5 a share. So 5 times 20 is 100. I mean, simple math. Okay, but what happens if next quarter the earnings go up? If earnings go up for next quarter and they're $5.50 a share, and you multiply that times 20, then the stock price is $110 a share. So there you go. The PE multiple stayed the same, yet the stock price went up. So in other words, the stock market can go up higher and the PE multiple can stay the same at 20. So you don't need this quote multiple PEs of going to 20, 24, or 25 just for the stock market to go higher. The PE ratio can stay the same. The stock market can move up. Now for that quick story, since it's 4th of July and I am a prior military veteran. So my background, just to give you a little bit, I branched field artillery, as I talked about, coming out of West Point. And Terry and I, my wife, we wanted to go to Europe. So I branched field artillery heavy missile, and that's nuclear weapons, Pershing missiles, if you remember. We don't own those anymore. They sold them to the Germans, and I think the Germans dismantled them. They're not around anymore. But and then later I branched aviation, which is helicopters. In the last 4 years, I spent 8 years in the Army, but that was I was a helicopter pilot last 4 years. As a matter of fact, I was commander of the Combat Aviation Brigade headquarters troop out at 1st Cavalry Division, Fort Hood, Texas, and we deployed to Honduras, and I served in Honduras as a protocol officer working with the military group in the U.S. Embassy. Anyway, let me go back to my story. So at West Point, when we finish our second year at the academy, we are allowed to go to spend 30 days somewhere around the world. You can either go to airborne school, you can go to air assault school. Airborne school is parachutes. Air assault school is jumping out of helicopters with a rope. I mean, you can go to Ranger school, but if you go to Ranger school, that uses up your whole summer because it's 3 months. Anyway, let me tell you my story about airborne school. So as a class, many of us go to airborne schools so that when we come back to the academy, we can have some wings on there. And it's five jumps. It's 3 day jumps and 2 night jumps. But let me tell you, on one of the day jumps, and I mean, there's, you know, 200-300 of us at airborne school, maybe more, maybe 400-500 of us. And we're all at airborne school. So it's all our classmates and we're all having a good time. And when we jump out of this airplane, I mean, one's a C-130, it's a prop job, and others a C-141, which is a jet engine. But I mean, they're just pushing us out there, right and left, boom, 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 boom. Anyway, so and I think they push us out at around 500 feet. It's a low level jump, but it's static line. I mean, we're hooked up. So as soon as we come out of the airplane, our parachute opens. It's like pulling the ripcord right away. It's hooked to the ripcord. So the parachute opens. But if you can imagine all these West Point cadets and their little bitty parachutes just coming down all over the place, it's like chaos up there. So here we go. We're jumping out. And the one fear that you have in airborne school is that your chute collapses. Now, they give you a reserve. So if your chute collapses, supposedly you pull your reserve and then another parachute comes out. The problem is that you're jumping so low that by the time your parachute opens, you're still going to be hitting the ground at, I don't know, you know, 70 miles an hour or something like that. So I don't know how good that reserve parachute's going to be, but that's always your fear. And wouldn't you know it? We jump out of an aircraft. I believe it was on my third jump. And then I look up and there's a guy. He is walking across my parachute. And again, that could cause the parachute to collapse. So I holler up there. I says, hey, get off of my parachute. I'm hollering up there. And I can see his little footsteps walking across the parachute. And I put my hand on my reserve chute ready to pop it, and then the guy hollers down there. He goes, "Hey, is that Joe Cantu?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "Who is that? Get off my parachute." He goes, "Oh, sorry, Joe. This is so and so." I don't even remember the guy's name, but it was one of my classmates. He says, "Oh, sorry, Joe. Sorry about walking on your parachute. I'll get off of it." And so what he does to pull it is you pull on the straps on one side, and it causes the parachute to turn. But luckily he pulled off. My chute didn't collapse and I landed. But anyway, that's my my Army story to celebrate this 4th of July. I just thought I'd leave you with something funny. I have some disclosures at the end. Listen to them if you'd like. Happy 4th of July.
Welcome to Retirement Tactical Money Management. Joe Cantu, Chief Investment Officer of Cantu Tactical Wealth Management, is your host and has over 30 years of experience in the retirement money management profession. He is a West Point graduate with a Master's in Business Administration and has worked for three of the largest Wall Street firms as a stockbroker and portfolio manager. Over 10 years ago, he created Cantu Tactical Wealth Management, which actively balances and selects investments based on a tactical approach rather than the traditional strategic management method. Instead of the buy and hold philosophy, he believes in the pursuit of finding investments showing momentum, performance regardless of the direction of the market. His experience includes IRA accounts, 401k rollovers, trusts, endowments, defined benefit plans, 403bs, and 401k plans. Additionally, he served as a night college instructor for seniors, teaching high net worth retirement and estate planning for 14 years. Podcast views and personal opinions are for educational and entertainment purposes only and does not constitute a recommendation. Investing has risk of loss, and you should consult with your own advisors for any financial decisions. Cantu Tactical Wealth Management is a fiduciary, registered investment advisory firm in the states of California, Florida, Georgia, and Texas, providing pure, independent advice and money management.